This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام علیکم، میرا نام ہے حبیب، میرا عمر ہے 9 سال کا۔ صبح 6 بجے اٹھتا ہوں، میں سپارہ پڑھنے جاتا ہوں، سپارہ آج ہی میں ناشتہ کر کے چلا جاتا ہوں کباڑ چننے۔ کباڑ لے آتا ہوں، آج کنڈے میں بیچ دیتا ہوں۔ ₹100-200 ہو جاتے، میں ابو کو دے دیتا ہوں، کبھی میں بھی رکھ دیتا ہوں، شوق سے میں ملائی کھا دیتا ہوں۔ اگر کوئی آصفاظ اسکول مل گیا تو میں دائل ہونا چاہتا ہوں، پڑھنا چاہتا ہوں، میں بڑا ہو کے پھر فوجی افسر بننا چاہتا ہوں۔
میں پڑھنا چاہتا ہوں،
میں بھی پڑھنا چاہتی ہوں،
میں بھی پڑھنا چاہتا ہوں،
میں پڑھنا چاہتا ہوں
سر، میں بھی پڑھنا چاہتا ہوں۔
السلام علیکم، میرا نام ہے حبیب، میرا عمر ہے 9 سال کا۔ صبح 6 بجے اٹھتا ہوں، میں سپارہ پڑھنے جاتا ہوں، سپارہ آج ہی میں ناشتہ کر کے چلا جاتا ہوں کباڑ چننے۔ کباڑ لے آتا ہوں، آج کنڈے میں بیچ دیتا ہوں۔ ₹100-200 ہو جاتے، میں ابو کو دے دیتا ہوں، کبھی میں بھی رکھ دیتا ہوں، شوق سے میں ملائی کھا دیتا ہوں۔ اگر کوئی آصفاظ اسکول مل گیا تو میں دائل ہونا چاہتا ہوں، پڑھنا چاہتا ہوں، میں بڑا ہو کے پھر فوجی افسر بننا چاہتا ہوں۔
میں پڑھنا چاہتا
ہوں، میں بھی پڑھنا چاہتی ہوں،
میں بھی پڑھنا چاہتی ہوں،
میں پڑھنا چاہتا ہوں
سر، میں بھی پڑھنا چاہتا ہوں۔
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وبعد. Brothers, sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. To the final episode of Save My Salah. So yesterday we actually began with the Salah itself. So we spoke about reading Allahu Akbar and then what our state should be. And subhanAllah, that we've just said Allah is the greatest or Allah is great. Now we have to live up to it, in the sense that we can't say Allah is the great with our tongue and then our heart is thinking about something else. Our mind is all over the place. And this is very important. Why? Because of the fact, look, we've taken our time out to pray Salah. So we've, you know, gone to do wudu. We've gone to the masjid and we've made all that effort. We've given up other things, we've sacrificed, we've given preference to the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we've done all that effort, and when it comes to the salah itself, the heart is not in the salah. There is no concentration in the salah. So this is very important, that we actually, once we start our salah, now we remain focused. We endeavor as much as possible. Obviously the mind wanders occasionally, but then we try to pull it back. We try to pull it back and we make this effort. Look, let me give you an example. There's a person who goes and gets some flour, brings the flour, then kneads the flour, it's made dough, it's ready to cook, and then that person now decides to leave that flour uncovered in the open and do some other chores. So now that flour is at the dogs, the cats, the birds, whatever can come and now eat that dough. What would you think of that person? After all that effort, you bought the flour, you kneaded the dough, and now after all that, you let it go to waste. This is often, unfortunately, our state when it comes to salah. Our mind is somewhere else, and we've made all that effort. So then we endeavor that when we pray our salah, we concentrate as much as we can. Now, so I'm going to just go through one of the, this is the general beginning of Salah, which we read, and it is related by Abu Dawud ibn Majah, and this is the Thana, it's known as the Thana, and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu would teach this to the people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna ahab al-kalami ila Allahi an yaqulu al-abd," that the most beloved kalam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the servant says the following. So if you have a pen at hand, please take it down. Subhanakallahumma. Subhanakallahumma means I proclaim that you, O Allah, are free from any deficiencies. Allah, you are free from any deficiencies. You have no shortcomings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect, and we are imperfect, and everything around us is imperfect. So now, look, every place you go to has a certain protocol. So some will, they'll expect you to wear a particular attire, some will expect other things. The protocol in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you start your salah is to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you say, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. I proclaim that you are free from all deficiency. And look at the word subhanallah. It generally in salah, when you're praying salah, you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. But maybe 90 times in your salah, you would say Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest, or Allah is great. But when the imam makes a mistake, what do we say? We don't now say Allahu Akbar. Although everywhere else we say Allahu Akbar, but when the imam makes a mistake and we want to rectify, or we want to alert the imam of his mistake, what do we say? We say Subhanallah. What does it mean? He says, Imam Sahib, Only Allah is free from any deficiency and mistake. Imam Sahib, you can mistake and I can make mistake. So in this place, we don't say Allahu Akbar, we say Subhanallah. So Subhanallah, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. And all and with your praise. Wa tabarak ismuka. And blessed is your name. And blessed are those, and blessed become those who utter your name. Subhanallah. That the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most blessed, the most mubarak name there is. It is so, so blessed that when we utter your name, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we become blessed. La ilaha illallah. Wa ta'ala jadduka. And elevated is your majesty. Wa la ilaha ghayruk. And there is no God worthy of worship. Literally it's translated, there's no God besides you. Or you can have another meaning, O Allah, because we're in worship now. O Allah, there is no God worthy. There is no other being worthy of worship other than you. Now, so we've said Allahu Akbar. Now we read the thana. The sad thing is that many of us have been praying our salah for decades, but we don't even know the translation of the thana that we read. Ajib. Subhanallah. How can you feel the salah? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. You know, Allah, you are free from all deficiencies. Look, subhanallah. Imagine your mind is there. You're thinking about this. Wa bihamdika. And with your praise. Wa tabaraka smuka. Oh Allah, every time I mention your name, it is the most blessed name. But by me mentioning your name, I become blessed. Wa ta'ala jadduka. And elevated is your majesty. Wa la ilaha ghayruk. And nobody other, and no being other than you is worthy of worship. Oh Allah, I'm standing here in my salah. And I make nothing else. You are Akbar. I make nothing else worthy of worship besides you. So imagine when you have that state. But to have that state, subhanallah, the first thing is that you need to know the meaning. So I'll go through it again. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. I proclaim that you are free from any deficiency. And with your wa bihamdika, and with your praise. Wa tabaraka smuka. And blessed is your name, and blessed become those who mention your name. Wa ta'ala jadduka. And elevated is your majesty. Wa la ilaha ghayruk. And there is no God worthy, there is no God except you. I mean, there is no other being worthy of worship besides you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the thana. There are other ones that you can read as well. We don't really have time to go through that. The next is the A'udhu Billah. Now we are going to start our recitation of the Quran. So what we start with is the A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. I seek refuge in Allah Minash Shaitan, from the Shaitan Ar-Rajim. Ar-Rajim means the rejected one. Now why do we read this? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَإِذَا كَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. When you recite the Quran, then seek refuge from Shaitan, who is the repelled, the rejected one. Now, look. When a person reads the Quran before he wants to converse with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recite his book, he wants to purify him. It's like an example. You buy a house and that house is dilapidated. Are you going to now put new furniture in the house, or are you going to refurbish the house? The first thing that you will do is that you'll refurbish the house. You'll make the house look nice from inside. Then you will put your new furniture inside. This is exactly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that man has a limited power over shaitan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you want assistance against this rejected shaitan who is your enemy, then come and ask me for assistance. Come and ask me for assistance. You know, one day a sheikh asked his student, he said, if shaitan attacked you, what would you do? He said, I would repel him. He said, if he attacked you again, he said, I will repel him. He said, if he attacked you again, he said, I will repel him. He said, okay, let me ask you another question. If a dog attacked you, what would you do? He said, I will repel the dog. He said, then again? He said, I'll repel the dog again. Third time, he said, I'll repel the dog again. He said, how many times are you going to repel him? You've got limited power over that dog. It is better that you ask the owner of that dog to hold the dog back, to control the dog. So similarly, Allah is the creator. Shaitan was thrown out of Jannah because he did not do sajda to our father. Therefore, he will carry and he will endeavor to take us away from Jannah. And that place where he will attack you the most is in your salah. This is, look, you're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After the shahada, the second pillar of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is salah. Do you think he wants you to pray salah? Of course he doesn't want you to pray salah. He will do whatever it takes to distract you from your salah. So what you do is that you ask Allah, but you ask it with the heart. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Let me translate that for you. I seek refuge in Allah from the shaitan. Shaitan is from the word shatuna. Shatuna means that which is far removed, meaning he's removed from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-rajim, the rejected ones. The rejected ones. And no, when a person seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from shaitan, the rejected one, shaitan runs away. Shaitan flees. And therefore, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always protect us from the shaitan ar-rajim. Look, subhanAllah. We start our salah, Allahu Akbar. We read our thana. We read our a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. What? But we need to ask ourselves one question. What is our state when we're reading this? Because see, in a row in the masjid, you have a row of 50 people at one saf. Every single one of them has read the thana. Every one of them has read the ta'awwudh. Every one of them will read the basmalah and the surah Fatiha, etc. But is the state of every single one's heart the same? No. No. Hassan bin Atiyah, rahmatullah alayhi, said two people apparently are praying the exact same salah. So two people in the saf pray exactly the same salah. They've got their hands, they're facing the same direction, they're reading exactly the same thing, but the difference between one person and the other is like the difference between the sky and the earth, he says. He said, why? Because one person's heart is in his salah and the other one is heedless. His heart is somewhere else. So that is the second part. So we seek refuge from shaitan, the rejected one, and then we start with the basmala. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This formula is known as the basmala. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is subhanAllah, that word that I start in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, every matter of good, when it is not started with Bismillah, then it remains deficient. It remains not complete. كُلُّ أَمْرٍ ذِبَالٍ لَمْ يُبْدَ بِإِسْمِهِ تَعَالَى فَهُوَ أَقْطَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, every matter of any significance, if it is not started with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it remains deficient. So this is why now we've cleansed ourselves from shaitan ar-rajim. Now we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now we start in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, this is a name. This is this basmala. If you read it on something which is little, it makes it much. If there's no barakah, it fills it with barakah. It is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is that which repels evil. It is a blessed formula. So we read this ar-Rahman. So let me just say, I'll explain what Allah is in a minute when I do Surah Fatiha. But what is the meaning of Rahman? Rahman means the most beneficent. Rahim means the merciful. Now they have similar meanings, but really in the Arabic language and according to the Mufassirin, they have a far deeper meaning. Ar-Rahman is he who is beneficent, merciful on everything. Muslims, non-Muslims, animals, and everything. Rahman. Rahman means the one whose rahmah is broad, is expanse. It covers everything. Rahim is more, according to many of the Mufassireen, is more closer to for the believers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. And he was with the believers, Rahim. So this is the Basmala formula. I am going to go slightly fast because I want to cover as much as I can today, inshallah. And then we start the surah. So we read the Thana, the Ta'awwud, the Basmala, and now we reach Suratul Fatiha. Suratul Fatiha is known as Suratul Fatiha because the Quran starts with it, and subhanAllah, the Salah starts with it as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam defined it as أَعْظَمُ سُورَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. أَعْظَمُ سُورَةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. That this is the greatest surah in the Quran. So he was with the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. He said to the Sahabi, shall I not tell you what is the greatest surah in the Quran? The Sahabi says, of course, indeed, O Messenger of Allah, please do. And then the Messenger of Allah is walking out the masjid. And the Sahabi says, O Messenger of Allah, didn't you say that you're going to tell me what is the greatest surah in the Quran? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, it is Suratul Fatiha. It is known, it has many names. It is known as Suratul Shifa. It is known as Ummul Quran. Ummul Quran. You know, the most focal point of the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also defined it as the greatest surah in the Quran. So I'm going to briefly go through the meaning. Alhamdulillah. Alhamd means praise. Lillah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. Okay, all praise is for Allah. All praise. The alif lam here, it means for the meaning of something which is comprehensive. So it means that alhamdulillah, that the total, entire praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what does a hamd mean? The word hamd doesn't just mean praise. It means praise with love. Okay? So the word shukr. Shukr means where a person does you a favor and you respond to that favor. You thank that person for that favor. That's what shukr means. The word madhun in the Arabic language means that you praise somebody and that person can be living or dead, but there is no condition that you have love for that person. But the word alhamd, subhanallah, is that praise which is only for the living. And also you have love for that. So imagine, so you say alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah for Allah. The name Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most quintessential name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have others. You have other attributes, other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the most central one, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. So Allah, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. He has those other names, beautiful names, but the most central name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Allah. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the most central name for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, as long as one person is reciting the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the earth will not be destroyed. This is how mubarak the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. It is the ism of dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Rabb has a few meanings and a few qualities, and in different places in the Quran it has different meanings. So in Surah Fatir, it has the meaning of bringing into existence. In Surah Al-An'am, it has the meaning of creator and controller. In Surah Sabah, it has the meaning of ownership. And in Surah Kahf, it has the meaning of tarbiyah and guidance. So Rabbil Alameen here is Rabb, which can actually have all these meanings here in one place. And Alameen means everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some say everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is living, and others say everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is the Lord, the controller, the creator, the guider of everything other than Himself. That is Rabbil Alameen. So now you stand your first off, your first Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise. And now you got to think, all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of everything else, everything other than Himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look, generally, man are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Generally, a slave doesn't really like his master. But we believers know, we are proud to be the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. All praise be to Allah who is our master. We love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is our relationship. All praise, we the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not like other slaves. To be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an honor. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, we've done that. So now you start, look, you first, you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then you say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Okay, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So now, the most beneficent, the most merciful, repeated again. Why? Why are these qualities repeated again? The most known qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are Rahman al-Rahim. The beneficent, the merciful. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show a believer that the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that my rahmati sabaqat ghadabi, that my rahmah precedes my anger, that this is the greatest quality. So now look, you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Maliki Yawmiddin. Malik, the owner, the controller. Yawmiddin, the day of reckoning. SubhanAllah. Imagine, you stand in praise, so you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, and now you get to where, oh Allah, Allah, you are the owner of that day. Ya Allah, you are the owner of that day where a mother will leave its child and run away. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. On that day that a man will run away from its brother, from its parents, from its wife, from his children. Imagine now you stand on that in your salah and you envisage that. You envisage that day where this will be the trauma, that you will be standing for 50,000 years. Imagine you stand in your salah and you say, Maliki Yawmiddin. And in your mind, you are capturing that day where people will be drowning in their sweat, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be in sajda. But then there will be those group of people, Allah make us amongst them, who will be under His shade. On that shade, when there is no shade besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shade. So let's endeavor to envisage this. So this is why, when you stand in your salah and you recite this, imagine that you are standing on the day of judgment and you're saying, O Maliki Yawmiddin, Ya Rabb, have mercy upon us, because you are the Malik of that day. And then you say, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Allahu Akbar. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ Oh Allah, you alone do we worship, and you alone do we ask for assistance. The word here, the maf'ul, is brought before the verb, the إِيَّاكَ. Why? One, it has a meaning of something which is comprehensive, meaning we, you alone, or nobody else, you are the only person that we worship. Secondly, for adab, normally the maf'ul, the object upon what the action has been done, comes after the verb, but not in this case. Why? Because of the fact that we have so much respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we bring the object first and then our worship afterwards. So, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ O Allah, you alone do we worship. Subhanallah. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ We did not create man, we did not create jinn and man beside for worship. Now, one thing I want you to understand is that the meaning worship has a very comprehensive meaning. It's not just ritual worship. Although we're talking about salah, but it has a very, very comprehensive meaning. You know, imagine this. You know, when you stand in salah and you say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ Oh Allah, you alone we worship. Meaning that I'm the slave. Because the word abd comes from the word ibadah. نَعْبُدُ Allah, I am the slave. You are my master. When you have that, then how can you be arrogant? It brings humbleness in the individual. You're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're saying, Oh Allah, I am the slave. And then soon as we finish our salah, we think we're the best thing since sliced bread. We're arrogant. But just a minute ago, you just said to Allah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ Allah, you know, we worship you. I am the slave. You are the master. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ Allah. You alone do we ask for assistance. You know, our general state is, when we have a musibah, this is an unfortunate thing, we say it in salah. You alone we ask for assistance. We run around everywhere, ask for assistance. We stand in salah, we even say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ and our minds are somewhere else. We just said, oh Allah, you are the first person that we turn to. We turn to nobody else. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi was once praying salah, and Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi, the narration mentioned, cried when he reached إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ because the truth is that we say these words but we don't have the reality in our heart. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ Ya Rabb. Oh Allah, you alone do we worship. You alone do we seek assistance. They say that he recited. He reached إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ and he could not go any further with his salah. He cried and he cried because the reality of this, wallahi, is not in our hearts. There was another salah, Ahmad bin Abi Hawari. I think his name Ahmad bin Abi Hawari. Rahmatullah alayhi. The narration mentioned that he was reading إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ in his salah. The narrator mentioned, I came and he was reading it. Then I went away to the garden, I came back and he's reading and he's crying. He said, I went to sleep, I came back and he's reading إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ Oh Allah, you alone do we ask for assistance. Oh Allah, you alone do we worship and you alone do we ask for assistance. Subhanallah. You know, this thing, ibadah, worship. You know, sometimes, wallahi, this is ikhlas. What are we speaking about? Oh Allah, you alone, we worship. Nobody, we don't care about anybody else. Wallahi, we know in our hearts that we are an honest person. And the world calls us dishonest, but Allah knows we are honest. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we don't care what people say. We raise our children on not being mukhlis. We say to our children, don't do that because what will the people say? Subhanallah, we don't say, don't do that because Allah will be upset with you. We say, don't do this and don't do that because people will be upset with you. We raise our children to not be mukhlis. Allah save us. That's what we do. So, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. No, subhanAllah, you know, let's get the reality. Next time we stand in our salah, you know, we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. We really mean it. We really mean it. And after that, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِهْدِنَا السَّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. Oh Allah, Allah show us the path. Guide us to Sirat al-Mustaqeem. To the straight path. There is only one path which is straight, and that is the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Allah show us the straight path. You see how the it goes. First you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you Maliki Yawmiddin, then you say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, we worship you, and the reason you say, oh Allah, we only worship you, and we only seek assistance from you, because the worship comes before seeking assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You worship Allah, you show Allah ikhlas, and then you ask Allah, oh Allah, we only ask you. Then what do we ask? The greatest ask that we can ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim. Oh Allah, you know that path which will take me into Jannah. Oh Allah, put me on that path. Oh Allah, save me from shaitan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once drew a line in the sand, and he took other lines from it, and he said, you know this straight line, this is Siratul Mustaqim, and you know these other lines coming from it, this is where shaitan is sitting on the path to take man away from the straight path. So ihdina siratul mustaqim, siratul ladina anamta alayhim, the path of those you have favored, the Anbiya, the Sahaba, the martyrs, the Salihin, all of those, Allah grant us to be on their path. Ghayril maghdubi, not the path of those who have earned your wrath, waladwalin, and nor the one who go or went astray. So not those who went astray. So this is, and then the hadith mentions, then you say, Ameen, O Allah, accept my supplication. And the hadith mentioned that when a person's supplication, Ameen, coincide with the Ameen of the Imam, the angels, then the angels also say Ameen at that time, and his sins are all forgiven. Okay, so if your Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the Imam and the Ameen of the angels, because the angels do Ameen at the same time, then all your sins are forgiven. I just want to go over something here which has really benefited me. We don't have much time, unfortunately. And then inshallah, and I said I will finish, and obviously we won't be able to finish the whole course, but I really want to go through this. And when you're reading your Surah Fatiha, the narration mentioned, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi mentions that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would read the Quran, he would read an ayah, he would stop. Then he would read the next ayah, he would stop. And then he would read the next ayah and he would stop. And something which really, there's a hadith where when a person reads Surah Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. And this is something which really benefited me. So what is the response? So here's the response. When a person reads Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has praised me. Imagine. So you read Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and then you think in your mind, what is Allah saying? Allah is saying, Hamidani Abdi, La ilaha illallah. Allah is responding. And this has really helped me in my salah. You know, when I stop and I think, Allah is responding to me. Then a person reads, Maliki Yawmiddin. And Allah says, Athna alayya Abdi. My servant has extolled me. My servant has extolled me. Then a person says, Maliki Yawmiddin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Majidani Abdi, my servant has glorified me. And then when the servant, so every time you reach Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you think, Allah hamidani abdi, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Athna Aliyya abdi, Maliki Yawmiddin, Majjadani abdi. And then a person reads, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. O Allah, you alone we worship, and you alone do we ask for assistance. And Allah says, Hada bayni wa bayna abdi. This is between me and my servant. This is my, me and only my. Allah responds. And then when a person says, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, until the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hada li abdi wa li abdi maqa. He said, you know what my servant has asked for? I am going to grant my servant all this. So imagine that if you recite this, subhanAllah, how much khushu and how much khudu you will have in your salah. I am going to finish in the next couple of minutes. I just have a couple of things I want to mention. Unfortunately, obviously, we haven't been able to reach the end of the salah. But I think you've got a taster. I'm sure you can go through the rest of the translation of the salah and try to concentrate and envisage. My question is to you, brothers and sisters. This is a very important question. When we start our salah, are we like a fish in water? Or are we like a bird in a cage? Meaning, when we in our salah, do we feel relaxed? Do we enjoy the salah? Do we want to prolong the qiraat, the recitation of the Quran? Or are we like a bird in a cage, can't wait for the salah to finish? That's a question. Because we need to reach the stage where we enjoy our salah. Ya Bilal, arihna bis salah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh Bilal, relax us with our salah. And I also want to mention something else which is very, very important. And that is, look, we've gone through how to pray salah. And sometimes going through a course like this, it causes an element of despondency because we look at our own salah. But that shouldn't be the case. We go back to the stages Ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi, rahmatullah alayhi, mentioned, if you have those. And we go through those stages and we see which stage our salah is on. And then we endeavor to improve it. Like everything else in life, we endeavor to improve. Why do we get all worked up? And this isn't going to happen in a day. It will take some time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Successful are those believers who in their salah have khushu. As I mentioned, the word aflaha means where you make an effort. Allah is not saying that all of a sudden you will become, your salah will become great. You will have to make an effort in your salah, and then you will see that your salah will improve. And time will come, your salah will fluctuate. It will be better, it will not be so good. And then you need to go back, focus on the course again, read the notes, how can I improve my salah, and then go back to your salah. Because the thing is that, brothers and sisters, me and you are going to be praying salah, inshallah, for the rest of our life. Why not try to improve it? Why not find the pleasure of salah? Why not find the sweetness of iman in our salah? Why not feel that we are standing in front of Allah whilst we are praying our salah? So this is something that we need to endeavor. We need to try. And it will take some time. But I don't want anybody after this course to get despondent. No, please. It's not about despondency. It's about taking a step back and thinking, okay, how can I improve? No OCD. No, do your wudu as best as you can. Three, and no more than three times you wash a limb. Just do it that way, because if you are doing it more than three times, oh, I haven't got my wudu perfect, oh, I haven't washed that, but you are allowing shaitan to get the better of you, because that's exactly what shaitan wants to do. Shaitan wants your worship to become a thing which is heavy upon you, which you do not enjoy. Right, Messenger of Allah saying, Bilal, arahna bis salah, oh Bilal, relax us with our salah. We find relaxation. So there will be times where you will be stronger, and there will be times that you will be weaker. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our worship, our salah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to worship Him in a manner that is beloved unto Him, and that on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us about our salah, because the first thing that we will be asked is our salah, that subhanallah, that Allah is pleased with our salah, and if Allah is pleased with our salah, He will be pleased with all our other actions. Barakallahu feekum, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.